Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we're here with
Otessa Goddard
and Diana Eaton.
Here talking the DC Web Fest, which now enters its 7th year. Hard to believe, right?
Yes, but we're very excited. We're very excited. We're very proud of our baby.
Yeah.
It has gone past crawling and is now walking and getting into all kinds of wonderful trouble.
Growing up fast.
Where are we again? Are we at the AT&T place again?
No. So this year we are going to be at, on Friday, April 12th, we will be at Google for the AM session, which is going to be all about feeding your brain and your body. And then we have the evening session at Mindspace, the co-working space that's in the Washington Post building. Mm-hmm. I mean, you may have heard of either Mindspace or the Washington Post. I don't know.
On K Street.
May have heard of them.
Yeah. And then on Saturday, we are going to be at the co-working space, Make Offices, all day. And we have lots of amazing things in store.
Where's Make Offices? Where is it?
In Glover Park.
Okay.
Yes. Not too far from here.
So Friday the 12th and Saturday the 13th.
That's correct.
Awesome. Okay, cool. Give me a sense. I want to go into the actual slate of movies and the rundown of events and all that, but big picture it for me first. How much have we grown over these 7 years? I know we talked to you guys last year, but, you know, lessons learned, you know, what was it like in its infancy compared to now?
Oh, wow. So for year one, the reason why I started it was because 7 years ago, when it came to creating digital content, if you wanted to submit to a film festival, which you were told was, you know, the best way to kickstart your career, your film was basically like a calling card that was generally overly expensive. So, you know, your very expensive calling card then would travel the festival circuit. You would hope something would happen, and good luck to you.
Yeah.
But film festivals, unfortunately, would require that it either be a domestic premiere or an international premiere, which meant, read the terms of service in that small script, that if it had been online, it was ineligible. So if you were creating digital content, you were either not allowed in or you had to withhold your digital content from finding its audience before you could submit to festivals. And yes, we did have the streamies, RIP, but there really wasn't an outlet for this. And I thought, you know, hey, how amazing would it be if there wasn't one in New York, there was one in LA, but I was like, how amazing would it be if the second time there is something like this, it's in DC and we can establish DC as a creative capital? Because DC, yes, there is a creative community. People, like, we're alive and well.
Yes.
And please come and join us. And we have an amazing history of that. So on a wing and a prayer, I started it and I was just thinking to myself, the first year was at the Arlington Draft House. And I was just thinking to myself, I really hope people show up. And they did.
They did.
So now we're in year 7. And ways that we've grown is, in my mind, digital storytelling is not just web series. The way that people tell their stories, and since we are indie and we are very focused on indie and minority and, you know, the people who Hollywood and even, quote unquote, the indie film market don't really have a wonderful history of including.
This let's face it, the indie market has gotten its own indie. It's not even that indie.
We're still talking millions.
Sundance is no indie, what it used to be.
No, we're talking
it's
millions.
It's just as commercial and money pumped into it as anything
else.
So what
we really needed was something like that to support the indie community and support the people who are actually able to be directors or creators and have agency. To, you know, celebrate them, but also give them the tools to go out and create again. So that's something that we've really focused on as we've grown over the years. So we have more categories. We have podcasting, VR, AR, indie game development, blogging, online writing, digital art, online representation and social impact. All of these things are now included. So if you are creating a digital story, we're your home. We love you. Join us. We care about you. And the other thing that I would say as we've scaled up over the years is that something that, you know, sometimes you'll go to a festival and, you know, they give out awards and a pat on the back, which is lovely. It's great to, you know, have that pat on the back and that recognition. But, something that I think we saw as what was missing and what was really important is that if you are an indie creator, you need the tools to then go out and create again. Mm-hmm. So things that we offer are for our award winners are mentorship. Mm-hmm. This year, and Diane, so I'm doing free consultations because that's something that I usually do for my, you know, for my day job. I'm going to be doing free creative consultations. There are also free pro bono legal sessions with IP lawyers, thanks to Creative Control. Diana is doing pro bono headshots. And there are classes that General Assembly is offering, as well as equipment and you know, $100 worth of credit for students and educators, thanks to Amazon Web Services. So so you come away with hardware, software, mentorship, co-working spaces for winners, so that they actually have a place to go. So yeah, everything that you need to go out and do it again
and better.
Yes, you have all of that. So you get the award, you get the pat on the back, or a standing ovation,
right?
As last
year. But what's
year.
Next? Yes. You know, you need to fund the next one.
Yes, exactly. You need to fund the next one, and I think that's something that a lot of festivals are missing, and that's something that I'm very proud that we offer.
I agree. Yeah.
Absolutely. Also, I mean, I just think it's fascinating. You guys have been so ahead of the curve.
Thank you.
In terms of, I mean, well, if you think about it, I mean, literally the last couple months of headlines, national world headlines from Hollywood, is this exact debate. Is this Spielberg versus Netflix? Everyone's talking about does something need a theatrical release for Oscar contention? Like, it's an ongoing thing. We just had, I think yesterday, Apple announced its new streaming service.
Oh, yeah.
But you guys were, why do you think the larger industry was so slow to catch on? What you saw from your thesis film at Columbia, however many years ago? Like, how did you see the writing on the wall before them?
What's funny about that, actually, and sorry, grad school, gonna throw you under the bus a little bit here, but when I was doing my thesis, I wanted to do an online show. And something that they talked a lot about during grad school was declining ticket sales and, you know, where are the butts in the seats? Like, every year, butts in seats are, and ticket sales are going down. No one's going to the movies. And, I mean, I think if you look at it, it's like, well, think about the people who are actually creating those movies, right? They didn't go to the movies because they had at-home amazing entertainment centers. They didn't go to the movies because they had awesome entertainment centers. So as soon as you entered an age where people could have high-quality entertainment systems at home,
right.
Then also, why are you going to go spend $15 to $20, or if you include the popcorn, forget about it, then you're breaking the bank.
Yeah.
Or when you could just do it at home. And then with
butts on couch cushions is what they should have
been. Exactly. So as part of my thesis, I was lucky in the fact that my brother and sister, who are 13 years younger than me, they're twins.
No joke. I'm a twin too. There you go.
Yeah. So I was literally, as I was hearing this in grad school, I was watching my brother and sister every time I would go home. And I was like, they are constantly online. What are they doing online? And I realized, I was like, they are consuming content.
Lots of it.
And
content
so,
was there.
Yep. Yeah. And yeah. then having also, having also studied math and science, that's a whole other thing. But I did a little bit of data science on that and tracked the analytics. And I was like, wait a second, content consumption is up. And this is before YouTube even. It's like, content consumption is up. It's just not in the theaters.
And not in the typical old ways.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let me go there, especially because having been told at film school, there was a group of women in the hallways. And obviously, you know, the gender dynamics in my grad school, there were fewer women than men. And one of our professors...
Not just in your grad school, all over back then.
Definitely. Yeah, and one of our professors who has Oscars and things like that said, I don't know why all you women are here. Don't you know that you're not going to be directors or producers? You're all going to end up being script girls? That moment, I actually have to... It was not a happy moment, but...
Into your brain.
I had to think that moment, and by proxy, that person, who I will not name... Because I realized, I was like, you know what? I'm not going to Hollywood, and I'm not going to stay in New York and do quote-unquote indie, because I have literally just been told that I'm never going to get to direct. So if I want to do this, I'm going to go where the content consumption is a growth market. I'm going to
forge your own
go
path, basically, yeah.
where I can actually be a director. And I think that's something that we saw. Like if you look at Issa Rae.
Definitely.
Yeah, but I think that protecting that is really important because if you look at it, I mean, no offense to Netflix, but back in the day, Netflix, there was that button where you could submit your work.
Sure.
Anyone remember that?
Not anymore.
Yeah, there's no way. Netflix is basically like...
It's the new studio system.
MGM
now, Amazon. Yep.
The 1930s. We are in the new studio system. Yep. That's what has happened.
Instead of MGM, Paramount, Warner Brothers, it's Netflix, Amazon, Hulu.
Yep.
Now, Apple's now jumping in. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
So what we're going to end up with...
Where are the indie streaming content creators?
Exactly. Yeah. And yes, and you know, so Netflix did do... You know, to All the Boys I've Ever Loved Before, and they were one of 30 places that said, yeah, the Asian character can be Asian. Kudos to them. But they also dropped, you know, how many other dozens of pieces of content that month that were not particularly diverse. So I think we're still seeing that problem, whether it's in front of the camera or behind the camera or above the line or below the line. With the new studio system being digital, we still have that problem with indie stories. And people still want them. People still want to see themselves, and people still want to be in charge of their narrative. Mm-hmm. So it's important now more than ever for something like the DC Web Fest to exist. Because even the Webbies, and don't get me wrong, like the Webbies are amazing, and I'm really glad that, you know, work that I've done has been a recipient of it, but they're not even indie anymore. As soon as you have Kim Kardashian on there, that's not indie,
right.
you know? So basically we're the indie Webbies and we're like still fighting the good fight because we have a supply and demand failure again.
Mm-hmm. I love that. You're the indie Webbies,
indie
East
Webbies,
Coast.
Yeah.
I love it.
Indie Webbies.
Do you want to give us a rundown of some of the events of what kicks off everything Friday?
So Friday is pretty much deemed like a tech ed day. So on Friday, we're going to have the creative control consultations with the IP lawyers, as well as the general assembly courses on UX design and digital marketing. Last year, digital marketing was like the biggest, like everyone was trying to get in on that. So I would definitely recommend one of those two courses. But and then we're going to migrate over the Mindspace in the evening for a watch party for all of our international web series, followed by an after party. Which we'll have a scavenger hunt. We'll have raffles for prizes. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Awesome. So I want to unpack a couple of those things before we move to Saturday. But so Friday, the watch party, is that similar to what I went to at the Australian Embassy last year? It was a screening of the internationals?
Yes, exactly.
That was so much fun.
It was fun.
There's some really, and I'm just want to jump in here. And for any listeners that, you know, they think, oh, it's, you know, local indie online. No, it is high quality stuff. The stuff we watched was so great last year. So props. I'm sure it's just as good this year. So
Also, can I just put a plug in that we track all of our official selections, everyone who has submitted. We track our success stories. And what is awesome to see is how many people go on to do whether that project, you know, makes the leap, they get a great deal, or like their next project. But like these people are making like this is not like Cats with Cheeseburgers, people. This is amazing stuff that is of the highest quality that generally goes on to do really, really well. So, if you like being on the vanguard.
Yeah, it's going to be some, it's kind of difficult when we're screening. We're having to like go through the judging process and it's hard because there's so much content to get through, but some of you get kind of stuck on and you don't want to move on, but you have to.
Yeah.
So I will say that it's definitely a lot of good stuff in there.
Best of the best. What all countries are represented?
Oh my gosh.
And how many submissions in general? Like, you know, how many did you get? How do you pare
too
it
many.
Down? All that stuff.
I know. I don't want to say too many. I know.
Not
I don't,
too many, but it's definitely
a lot.
It's a lot.
And representation across the globe. And I would say that I was happy when we finally started actually receiving submissions from Africa. That was a continent that we were missing. So, yeah.
What
so
countries?
It is,
do you know what?
So last year, actually, one of our winners was from Sierra Leone.
Oh, awesome.
Which was really, really awesome and dope. Mm-hmm. So I am really happy to see that we have, like, if we were to do a map, you would see fantastic representation. One thing that I find is interesting, though, is that as the 7 years have progressed, the content that we're getting, the U.S. market is declining.
It is.
And I think
you mean for your submissions, you mean?
I think it's because we aren't supporting the arts. And the countries that do.
Like Australia?
Australia, Canada, New Zealand.
cranking them
and out. And France, Germany, yeah, if you support the arts, you'd be surprised what happens. Mm-hmm. And if you don't support the arts, you know, shocker.
Get what you get.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's why we're here.
So yes. You said if you look at a map, is it going to be all continents, you think, other than
yes.
Antarctica, of course?
Yeah, about every continent, yes.
Yes, so literally yes every continent. That's something we're super proud of.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Do you have any, I don't know if you have the exact numbers on, you know, in front of you, but even just ballpark it, if you had an idea of how many submissions versus how much you actually had to pare it down to?
Oh, it's...
Are we talking tens of thousands, thousands? Hundreds.
In terms of the number of submissions that are actually accepted, I would have to actually go back and get you a number.
Sure.
But it is a very small slice that we take.
Gotcha.
So to all of the people who have submitted and your work was not accepted, it was probably still really good. But we do have our own algorithm and method of doing things, and it is kind of strict.
Gotcha. That's good. Tough. You want the best of the best.
The best of the cream crop.
Yeah. And you mentioned there's a scavenger hunt?
Yes.
Do tell. Is this around D.C., around the building itself, or around the outer streets, or what?
So there's one particular scavenger hunt that we're super excited about, which is a people scavenger hunt, and I can let Diana describe that.
So basically the way it works, and jump in if I'd forget something, but basically the way it works is people have to, like, we have special guests there. And people have to try to figure out who is who, and then the winner gets a surprise.
Yes. Right. Yeah. That we and we have lots of awesome things to raffle, like dots from Amazon and Google stuff, and you know all kinds of
We have like drink gift cards.
Yes.
Nice.
But so in essence, the reason why we came up with a people scavenger hunt as opposed to a places scavenger hunt is. I think that there is...
Because you played a lot of Guess Who as a kid, right? That's why.
Which is a great game. I did. But actually, no, that was not the reason why.
So close.
Yeah, no, but we had a sort of a creative strategy meeting. And we realized that, you know, D.C. is creative and D.C. has this amazing creative history. But why do people not think of D.C. as creative? And why are we, you know, if someone gets to a certain level, it's like they cut their teeth here. And then oftentimes they leave and they go somewhere else. And how do we make sure that they stay? And in that creative strategy meeting, we realized that the creative communities here in DC were, I don't want to say solipsistic, but they were not connecting with each other, right? And part of that is, again, if you don't support the arts, then you're in a situation where you don't have patrons, which are important. But also, if it's your side hustle, you know, you're going to be exhausted after working your full-time job and then doing all your side hustles. How are you then going to reach out and meet all of these other creative communities? So we're missing the neurons that connect them. So we have all of these awesome people who are coming in from, you know, internationally. They're coming in, but also amazing people who are here in D.C., like Daryl Perkins from Rock Lee City. He's going to be there. Erica Banks from Google. Like,
Claudia Myers.
Yeah.
Love Claudia. Like,
yeah, right? Me too. My favorite.
AU. All right. Oh, yeah. We went to AU. Yeah. Claudia Myers.
So we want to make sure that for our international guests that they're coming and realizing, like, and finding, like, find someone who does this. They have find that person and then think to themselves, oh, wow, yeah, there are collaboration and connection opportunities in D.C. I'm not just coming to this festival because it's a legacy festival. Right. I'm coming because D.C. has value. Mm-hmm. So this is a way to just, like, make sure that that neuron is connected. And then for the D.C. folks, this is a way for them to connect with the groups that they might have not been, they might not have had the time to connect with.
Right.
You know, you've got Femme Fatale, you've got Powwow, you've got Songbird, you've got, you know.
It's a lot.
I mean, there's so many, but let's connect with each other. So the People Scavenger Hunt is meant to build those that connective tissue.
Absolutely. Yep. This is just me brainstorming out, but extrapolating out. Will Amazon moving here with another location help? Well, do you think any folks in future years, do you plan on partnering? Like, do you think any of their Amazon, you know, Prime Original web streaming folks will be here that you could have come in future years to WebFest?
So, yeah, Amazon. Amazon, if you're listening, because actually Amazon Web Service is one of our partners this year.
Oh, really?
Which is, and they're doing training on Saturday. But they are one of our partners. Thank you. But also, Amazon, if you're listening, very, very interested in hit us up.
Yeah,
hit
please.
Me up. My name is Otessa Goddard. Otessa is pretty easy to find. But also, I'm really interested in what Amazon has been doing with its programming and the properties that it's been developing, because it seems as though they did something that I thought was fascinating. When, first of all, they got Julia Roberts, who had never been on the small screen, and they've been adapting podcasts. No one else was doing that. Like, that was a major play that Hulu wasn't doing, Netflix wasn't doing. Like, that carves out an amazing market and also creates an amazing possibility for podcast. But also, they've been getting really into fandom. So there's the Wheel of Time, there's the Tolkien one. I mean, and the fact that they're getting into fandoms, which are usually, you know, when it comes to science fiction and fantasy, those are usually considered, like, bad words. Like, don't say science fiction, say speculative fiction. If you've ever had a literary agent, don't say science fiction as though it's, like, a four-letter word.
You're going to get pigeonholed into it.
Yeah, but Amazon's like, we're going to do that. And I love that, especially because I'm a nerd who loves reading science fiction. So, Amazon, I'm super interested.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so you mentioned that that's Saturday. So what? Eric, give me a rundown of what's on tap for Saturday.
So we actually have, I have the schedule up here.
Awesome.
So and so, see. So if you want to see the schedule, it is on our website, which is dcwebfest.org. Go to the festival header, and you'll see the full rundown of events. So, yeah, Diana said, you know, on Friday, you're going to have the keynote, breakfast and lunch, the People Scavenger Hunt. You're going to have the pro bono consultations for creative consultations, as well as IP legal consultations, the pro bono headshots, games and virtual reality experiences, which people love, the General Assembly classes, which are like huge value add. And then that night, we're going to have like the international screenings and the party. Thank you to the Australian Embassy and Broccoli Bar for helping us out with that, and also Mindspace for the really cool space. Saturday is going to be all day at Make Offices. And
that's in Glover Park.
Yes, yeah, in Glover Park. And we're going to do a lot of fireside chats with
FDR? Really? You brought him back?
No, from the dead. That's how powerful we are, year seven. We're just like, we're bringing him back. we're doing fireside chats about like how to, with like key players in podcasting and online representation, digital art, blogging. So fireside chats with like key creators about how to do this, and also with the official selections about the origin story behind what they did. So you can, you know, listen and learn and hear from them. But then we'll also have a podcast listening booth, places where you can check out the blogs, the Amazon Web Services education session, which gives you $100 of credit for Amazon Web Services, which I don't know if anyone uses that for their website hosting, but $100 goes a long
way. And that's exclusively for educators and students. So that's really something that students and educators should take advantage of.
Yeah, so definitely sign up.
Yeah.
And then Claudia Myers is going to be leading one of the fireside chats.
Time is that one? I personally recommend everyone checking that.
Claudia is awesome.
So that's 3 p.m. And Diana over here is going to moderate that one.
Yes, that's going to be
fun. What is that chat about?
So basically just the writing process and where stories come from, and, you know, just the process of writing and personal experiences. I still have to gather together, like, talking points and stuff.
Oh, yeah,
but
you
I think
got a couple weeks, yeah.
Yeah.
Claudia will be, she'll take it.
Oh, yeah.
She'll run with it.
Yeah. But also, I wanted to introduce, so we have the Why I Create Challenge this year. Last year, we had a video making competition at the festival. We're just going to have that again for 48 hours. And basically, it's just, it can be in a form of video or podcast, and just people telling our personal stories of what drives them to create. So that's something that we're excited about. And it's hashtag Why I Create. That's
yeah,
a lot of fun.
1 to 2 minutes about why you create,
okay.
And then we'll announce the winner on Saturday night. So yeah, hashtag Why I Create, 48-hour festival for podcasts as well as videos this year. And then Saturday night, another watch party, this time with the American programming and with our American influencers. And then we have the awards ceremony,
the closing party, which is always fun.
This is all in Glover Park.
In Glover Park. Saturday, we're going to be there
Yeah, and red carpet. And then, so that's the after party. And then after the after party.
The after after party.
Yeah, is at Decades. So everyone get ready.
Yeah. It's going to be super fun.
So definitely check out the website.
Yeah.
Because
we even like did new colors and stuff this year. So
oh yeah, our new graphic made by Diana is so dope.
Well, thank you.
Describe. Paint a picture on the radio.
Well, I actually have it on my phone. It involves colors green, yellow, and red. And it's like the picture of the Capitol.
Okay.
With like lightning bolts, like coming, like red lightning bolts shooting from the Capitol with the words DC WebFest 7 in the Capitol. And basically, it's just, you know, feel the energy. So it's like energy bolts like radiating from.
And it is also an homage to the DC punk and hardcore scene of the late 70s and 80s, back when DC was one of those times when everyone was like, hey, DC is very cool creatively and politically. And shout out to the Bad Brains.
that first album cover was.
Yeah. So we're just trying to remind people that, like, hey, you know,
so
DC has this
Bad
legacy.
Brains homage. Yeah. I love it. Awesome. Well, I've got more than enough to work with. Is there anything else you guys want to add?
Yeah, so we definitely just want to encourage folks to get their tickets while they are available because we have limited tickets. We really want to create an experience that is intimate, that facilitates connecting and creating and collabing. And we've all been to festivals with thousands of people. And what we find is when it's a huge crowd, you kind of just get washed up and
you
leave and don't really have any connections. But when it's a smaller, intimate crowd, then it's more easy for people to communicate and to meet and greet and hook up and connect. And that's really what we want people to do. Come and meet people. There's lots of filmmakers, writers, directors, and we want folks to just connect and collaborate and, you know, make stuff in the future. So that's what we want to do. So get your tickets.
Yeah, get your tickets now because we have capped them. And also we are currently still an early bird. Although by the time that this, goes to air, this will not be an early bird. But something I also
we'll
want to say.
We'll be week of when this airs.
Something I do want to say is that the value of the tickets, we are literally just covering our operating costs.
Right.
We are a nonprofit. Right. So the value that you, what you see with the tickets, definitely click buy. Because the value of just, let's say, the Friday a.m. offerings.
Yeah, that alone, yeah.
Classes from General Assembly.
And all of the legal consultations and the creative consult and you know
shots,
and food
yeah.
and all of the above, you're looking at something that when I calculated the value of it was $875, and we're not charging you $870. we are charging you a very very
fraction.
Small fraction. So if you wanted to go out and do each of those things piecemeal, you would be breaking the bank. So each of these things is similar to that. Like the value is close to $1,000 for every single event. We've got four of them, and they're priced literally just to cover our costs. So we definitely encourage you to take advantage because if you miss out, if you try to do it piecemeal on your own, I hope you can still afford your rent.
Not around here. Awesome. I love having you guys in. Thanks so much for coming.
Thank you.
Everyone check it out. Again, it's Friday, April 12th and Saturday, April 13th. DC Web Fest, year 7. Red lightning bolts this time.
Yes, more lightning.
Yes.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.